This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Hello, we are here live on location in the heart of Ybor City in the oldest restaurant in Florida. My name is Jennifer Simonson, and I am with
Andrea Gonsmart, fifth generation of the Columbia restaurant.
And she is the great-great-granddaughter of the original restaurateurs. Can you tell us a little bit about your family and how they came to Ybor City and how this restaurant came to be?
My great-great-grandfather, Casimiro Hernandez Sr., came to Ybor City at the turn of the century, like many other immigrants, looking for the American dream. Started out at the Florida Brewing, brewing beer, and then they gave them the opportunity to open a saloon so he could sell their beer. And that is when the Columbia Cafe came to be. We originally thought we were founded in 1905, hence the tag of our famous salad, the 1905 salad. Soon to find out after we were celebrating our 100th anniversary, we found out we were founded in 1903, the same day the Wright brothers took flight.
Perfect.
So from there, we started serving Cuban sandwiches, which were known as mixta sandwiches, Cuban coffee, Cuban toast, all the wonderful tastes of home from Cuba and to the other immigrants. And we grew room by room. We are now 15 dining rooms, 1,700 seats. We encompass a whole city block.
Wow, that's amazing. Why is it that this is the one restaurant that's the oldest one in Florida? Like, what kept it going all those years?
I think what kept us going was the love and the dedication that gets passed down from generation to generation. My father says, anyone can be the president of a company, but not anyone can say they're fourth or fifth generation of a company. It's something that we were all raised in. It was something that we grew to love and adore, food and wine and being around the public, making people happy, helping them celebrate their special events. It's something so special that it's contagious, and I hope I can pass it on to the sixth generation.
Nice. Now, we've had a lot of discussions on what a Cuban sandwich is and isn't, and where it originated. On first thought, you would think it'd be originated in Cuba, but that's not necessarily true.
So it's kind of like when you eat meatballs in Italy, they're not Italian meatballs, they're just meatballs. So a sandwich in Cuba is just a sandwich. Originated as a mixta sandwich, where they would pretty much just put whatever they could find into a sandwich, kind of like you do on any given day at your house.
Yeah.
I feel pretty passionate about this Cuban sandwich and what goes into it and who's responsible for it. And I'm going to have to say it is definitely Ybor City.
What is a Cuban sandwich? What goes in it? And how does it represent all the immigrant communities here at Ybor?
So Cuban sandwich, when you look at all the different pieces, it represents, like you said, all of the different people who immigrated. You've got your Cuban bread, obviously, that is Cuban. You've got your ham, which represents the Spaniards. Your pork, marinated in mojo, represents the Cubans again. Then you've got your salami, which are the Italians. A lot of Sicilians came here at the early 1900s, along with other Italians. And then you've got your cheese, which I always say kind of represents the melting together, the melting pot of Ybor City, along with the mustard and the pickle that represent the Germans and the Jews.
Nice.
So it truly is a representation of Ybor City, which just supports my belief that it originated in Ybor City.
What do you think the heyday of this restaurant was? Was it the 30s, the 40s? Like, what do you think the heyday of?
I think every era has brought something different. I think to be here at the beginning was probably so neat. Early 1900s, it was something that none of us can imagine. Horse-drawn carriages outside on 7th Avenue.
Yeah.
That now is lined with, street lights and cars. So that would have been very neat. Being that we had the first air-conditioned dining room in the city of Tampa, that probably was a really neat time to be alive and to be in the city of Tampa.
Yeah.
Then, you look at the 50s and the 60s. I look at the pictures of my grandparents when they used to come in dressed so beautifully. My grandfather would wear a tuxedo. Actually, he wore a tuxedo until he stopped coming to work every Friday and Saturday.
Wow.
And they would all dress beautifully and put their beautiful jewelry on, and they would cocktail. That had to have been amazing. That was a time that I would have loved to have been alive.
Yeah.
And now today, you know, I've seen Tampa, Ybor, and the Columbia change so much from when I was born. I'm 41, so we've got 40 years underneath our belt. And what the Columbia is today, I think it would make my great-great-grandfather, my great-grandfather, my grandmother, my grandfather so proud. Because not only do we get so many people visiting Tampa, tourists, and so forth, we have a strong base of locals who come here on a daily basis. We're so lucky that people come back and celebrate their weddings with us because they had their reception here 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Sometimes it's decades that they had their rehearsal dinner or wedding with us.
Yeah.
It's something that we share with the community, and that will forever bind us together.
Yeah, that's great. What's the future entail for the Columbia Restaurant?
The future for the Columbia, it's going to make sure that we're not just coasting, that we're always improving. My father always says, if you're coasting, you're going downhill. There's always a way we can improve. There's always a way that we can better serve our guests. We just have to hope and pray that sixth generation is gonna be ready to step up to the plate and help the fifth generation out.
Yeah, well, the future definitely looks bright. So it's been a tough year for restaurants with COVID. How have you guys been able to deal with that over the last year?
So obviously, when COVID was presented, it was scary for everyone. It was scary for restaurants. We started to prepare for the reality that we were probably going to be closed by our governor. March 20th was the day that we had to close our doors, tell 1,400 of our employees that they were going to be furloughed. We didn't lay anyone off. We furloughed all of our hourly staff, kept as many as our salaries that we could on staff. So during that time, we figured out what can we do to try to improve ourselves. We put a new dishwasher in at this restaurant. We tented one of our restaurants in St. Augustine since we were closed anyways. We created something that's going to be with our company hopefully for the rest of my life, and that's the Employee Relief Fund. All of the gift cards that were purchased during that time by guests, 100% of those proceeds went to this Employee Relief Fund so we could help our employees who were desperate, who were truly in need. In addition to that, we were providing meals twice a week to all of our employees to feed their families. So we took something that was very negative and scary, but we tried to give our employees hope and reassure them that they were gonna have something to come back to. Of course, then we just celebrated the 1 year anniversary of reopening. The reopening process was almost just as scary as the closing process because we had to figure out how do we reopen and do it right. How do we keep our employees safe? How do we keep our customers safe? You had one shot to get it right, and there was no textbook to tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
So we actually waited and slowly opened restaurant by restaurant, doing the disposable menus, doing disposable condiments, masks, gloves, the distancing. Even when we could go to 100% capacity with our tables, we chose not to. And we still aren't at 100%. We're hoping we can continue to navigate through this very strange time, and I have no doubt that I think the industry will go back to its norm before long.
Yeah. Well, I think people are sick of cooking for themselves.
Yes.
They're sick of takeout, and they want to just go to a nice restaurant and sit down and have somebody cook for them.
I can't agree with you anymore.
Well, I think the future for restaurants are definitely bright, and travel and all that good stuff. I think the world's going to get back to normal here pretty soon, I hope.
So. I agree. Another thing that good came out of COVID,
yeah.
Before we closed, we really had a non-existent takeout program, which kind of seems odd,
yeah.
And that's why we closed 100%. There was no takeout program in place, so we didn't feel like we could do it properly and you know, represent our brand the way that we needed to. So when we reopened, we started exploring that. What does this takeout program look like? How do we do a curbside pickup in all of our restaurants? And we've successfully put it in all of our restaurants, and it's something that now our guests can benefit from, we can benefit from, and now they can take sangria home to go, which is even better.
That's awesome. That's great, yeah. Yeah, I think it definitely helps strengthen a lot of business plans this last year.
Yes, you have to reinvent yourself to a certain extent and try to look at what your other opportunities are.
Good luck with everything in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, if people want more information, how can they get in contact with you or find out more about Columbia Restaurant?
We have a website, columbiarestaurant.com, that leads to all the links to all of our other Columbia restaurants that are out the state of Florida. Okay. We're on all the social media sites, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. So we're pretty easy to find.
You're all over it.
Yes, we are.
Perfect.
I am Jennifer Simonson. We are here in Ybor City, and I have been speaking with
Andrea Gonsmart.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolff, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. And in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.